When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
A mid-morning dance with the devil from the Farmer of Fury.
It's more like Boris Karloff.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the Great Dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We have safely navigated our way to the end of another week. You'll be pleased to know the government is still intact. You may not be pleased to know that. Theresa May is still Prime Minister. You may not even be pleased to know that. And she is pushing ahead with the Brexit plan that no one wants and everyone hates. You probably don't want to know that either. However, but it is, after all, Black Friday, and maybe she'll produce a rabbit out of the hat by the end of the day. And if she does, we will be the first to let you know right here at Talk Radio. So don't miss any of it throughout the course of the day. Meanwhile, back in the real world, we are not having enough children. Official figures from the Office for National Statistics show that more and more women are having just one child, and the average household contains 1.89 kids, down from 2.4 in the last generation. I know that's a complicated number of children, but just bear with me and I'll understand, and you'll understand precisely what it all means. You might not think it matters to you, but it is the very reason we need immigration, to bolster the working population in the next 40 years, to pay for our old age, to pay for our schools, to pay for our police, and to pay for our social care. Whatever Hillary Clinton says, and I'm not particularly interested in any advice she's got for us, by the way, we won't be able to do without the importing of people into the United Kingdom. You know it makes sense. We'll be talking to Professor Ellis Cashmore, visiting professor of sociology at Aston University, coming up very shortly. 0344 499 1000. Meanwhile, as well, Giselle Wainwright is here from Sunsavers to guide us through Black Friday's biggest deals and best bargains. We want you to let us know what you're spotting out there ahead of the Christmas rush. Plus, we'll be finding out why vegans want to change the name of some of this country's oldest communities, like Wool in Dorset. What about Cheddar Gorge? What about Leatherhead, for heaven's sake? 0344 499 1000. And because it is Friday, it's also time for the Perrier Awards, presented today by a special guest who's coming in for the champagne we will be quaffing later on. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Now, there's an awful lot of things to look forward to this weekend. Some of you may be spending it shopping. Some of you may not have enough money to go shopping before Christmas. So you have my sympathy, but don't go too mad. Don't get carried away with all of the madness and the rushing around and the breaking of plates and the knocking over of statues and the acquiring of things that you really don't need just because they happen to be a little bit cheaper. We will be talking throughout the show, as I said earlier, to Giselle Wainwright, who's Sunsavers editor. She's going to be bringing us a few bargains. If you are online, just be careful you don't get ripped off, by the way, while you're at it. But let's kick things off this morning with a debate which covers a great many things, because families with the traditional 2.4 offspring, which has always been the kind of the root cause of what you might call the average household in this country, are disappearing. Nearly one in five women born in 1972, all of whom turned 45 last year, have just one child, soaring from one in eight in 10 years. Now, we have to say that this has got great ramifications for all manner of things. First of all, it's got ramifications for the numbers of children going into the workforce in 20 years' time, or in 10 years' time. It's got ramifications for how many old people they could look after by paying enough tax to make sure that social care is in place. It matters an awful lot as well, just to the general well-being of the nation, because if we have a falling birth rate, what that means, generally speaking, is that we need to import more people in order to make sure that the sort of society in which we live is properly balanced, because otherwise you have more old people, fewer younger people, not enough people paying tax, and therefore you go on and on and on into a state of financial oblivion. And I want to hear from some of you out there, because we're going to explain to you just why this matters. 03444991000. Hillary Clinton is on the front page of The Guardian this morning. She's talking about how we need to learn from the United States of America, particularly on immigration. She's basically saying if we don't close doors to migrants coming in from parts outside of Europe, we will have far-right representation, the like of which we will never see, the like of which got Donald Trump elected to the White House. Well, I've got news for Hillary Clinton. The reason Donald Trump got elected to the White House was because nobody wanted Hillary Clinton there, because she's not trusted and she is not seen as somebody who is a fair dealer. So that's why Hillary Clinton didn't actually beat Donald Trump, the worst Republican candidate of all time in the history of Republican candidates. But let's talk now to Professor Ellis Cashmore, visiting professor of sociology at Aston University, because he is a man who I'm sure will be able to calm me down on all manner of subjects and also give me a bit of detail on why the only child is so prevalent in British households. Professor Ellis, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike. I don't think I'll be able to calm you down at all, mate. In fact, you're getting me excited.
Well, I'm very glad to hear it. I mean,
listening to these statistics and reading about them this morning, I thought, well, this is not such a bad thing. And then after your intro, I thought, blimey, it couldn't have happened at a worse time, just as we're about to leave Europe.
Yes.
And we have a declining birth rate, and we have an ageing population.
Yes.
20 years' time, Armageddon.
Well, exactly. And this is my point. It's like a time bomb. And we sometimes see these stories. I mean, I spotted this story today on page 36, would you believe, of the Daily Mail. And what that tells you is that they don't understand how important this story is. But well, I do. And I do understand how important it is, Professor. Because
you do, indeed.
It is.
I'm going to try and give a different perspective.
Okay. Well, please do.
Listen. The 2-point-whatever family has been disappearing for the best part of a century now. So this is an extension of a trend that began long ago.
Right.
Particularly, it's a trend that that women want. I mean, we know we have a generation of women who don't simply want to give up their lives and have children and say, well, we have 2, 3, 4, 5 or more family members of the family to take care of, and that's going to bind me to the kitchen. They want smaller families to release them after they have children so that they can pursue a professional career and have a certain degree of independence, the same as men. So, that's the good aspect of it. We've also got to contend with the fact that divorces happen. We know that.
Yeah.
And it could be that that the divorced couple think, I mean, put it crudely, Mike, once bitten, twice shy. You know, we've had one child and we got divorced. So now the child lives betwixt and between. They have two parents that are not living in close proximity to each other. So they say, well, why burden ourselves with another child who may have to go through a similar kind of experience?
That's true. But also there are quite a lot of now families who have sort of stepbrothers and sisters because, you know, the parents have split up and then they've gone on and had more kids. It's,
yeah,
you know, life is more,
that.
Life is more complex, isn't it?
It's a factor. That's all I'm saying. It's not the cause of this. We've also got a lot of single-parent families, of course.
Right.
30 years ago, this was a cause of great alarm, Mike. You know, I remember, you know, doing research and writing a book on this subject, and at the time, people were saying, this is the end of the family as we know it. Mm. You know, people are choosing now, or through force of circumstances, having to rear one child without parent, or two children, or perhaps even more, without the benefit of having two parents. Nowadays, we think, that's not a big deal after all. You know, it's, you know, a single parent, whether male or female, is fully capable of rearing one or more children by themselves. And we have, as a society, have adjusted to accommodate that. So, in other words, the Armageddon that we were both joking about earlier isn't going to
Well, I'm not joking, though. That's the difference between you and
you
I,
were,
Professor.
But I think we also have to temper that by saying that there are a great many benefits. You know, when I'm on your show or on the station in the past, people usually like me to think of, you know, some causal factor, you know, something on TV or in the movies that's triggered this. But I've been racking my brains, you know, I thought, is it something on Broadchurch? You know, does Ellie Miller, the Olivia Colman, does she have one child? No, she doesn't. Is it something in Game of Thrones? You know, there's nothing, you know, culturally that I can find in the media that sort of spurred this trend. I just think it's an almost natural extension of something that started a long
sure.
time ago.
Listen, I'm not looking, as I'm not as expert as you in these matters, for any great sociological reason for it. But what I would say is that there are certain facts that we know. For example, yeah. if you have fewer children, generally speaking, the population falls, right?
Yeah.
Unless it is artificially inflated by some other means.
If we have fewer jobs around, that's not such a bad thing.
Well, hang on, you haven't let me finish yet, because here comes the big part.
Okay.
When you get people living longer, as they are now undoubtedly doing, they need to be looked after and paid for longer. So therefore,
or they can work longer, Mike.
They can. Some of them can. But the bottom line is that the pension schemes in this country, we know, are woefully inadequate.
Creaking, yeah.
You know, we know that state pension schemes, for example, are completely and utterly redundant, practically. You might as well not bother, right? So what we're going to need to do is create a better tax base so that we can look after the elderly.
And we can do that by extending the retirement age.
We can.
I was talking to someone at my gym yesterday, only a young man, and I said, it'll be 80 by the time you get round to retiring, mate. So make sure you keep coming to the gym
okay.
and working out
yes.
and staying fit. And I think that is something that you've neglected. Yes, we do have an ageing population, but I think we'll have a healthier and fitter population for longer.
Well, that may well be. Now, here's the other rub that I'm going to give you, which I'm going to throw in from left field, which you weren't going to be prepared for, and is probably going to be something that you're not going to like the sound of, okay? So I shall pre-warn you.
I can't wait.
I shall pre-warn you. Now, there are people in this country who are not sort of sticking to this particular trend of having fewer children and having children later in life. And you know the sort of people I'm talking about, the people who you might regard as in the underclass, some people who have maybe 8, 9, 10 kids. Many of them have children in order to get themselves social housing. Many of them have kids because they're feckless parents and they have kids to many different fathers. Now, my worry about that is that they are putting loads and loads of kids into the school system, which is putting strain on the school system. And I know a bit about that because I put kids in my own into the school system. And the strain of kids who are, in quotes, known to the local authority is getting quite bad. And I wonder whether there's a tipping point at which point these kids who are from pretty badly educated and pretty badly run families are going to outnumber the ones who come from pretty good families and who are going to make money for the state.
Well, you pretty much balanced out your own argument, Mike, because you were despairing earlier about the shrinking size of the family.
Yes.
And on the other hand, you're saying, yet there are areas of society. I don't necessarily agree with your facts, by the way, nor indeed your explanation, but I'm going to go along with it.
Feel free to disagree. This is what we do on this show.
I don't think it's down to fecklessness, and I don't think large families necessarily are going to emanate from the so-called underclass, as you called it, and I don't think that they're all going to be problematic, dysfunctional problem families that are going to end up in trouble. I think, yes, of course, there will be people who opt to have larger families for all kinds of reasons, but I think that they will probably be sprinkled throughout the whole class structure. I don't think they'll be...
That's true, you know, but by large part, I can tell you about a school, which I won't name, which is in one of the southern counties of this country, where 40% of the children were known to the local authority. Now, that means that either their parents were drug addicts, their parents were in prison.
A lot of those kids, Mike, will go on to universities and they'd get good degrees.
A lot of them won't,
though. Professional jobs.
A lot of them won't.
40%. Write them all off.
No, I'm not writing anybody off, Professor. All I'm saying is, no, it doesn't sound like that at all. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there is a point at which the social care. There is, yeah, there is, because there is a social care cost to everything that we do. There is a welfare cost to everything that we do.
We live in a welfare society.
Oh, sure, we do.
We're proud of it. And
yes, we are. But if we have too many people, Prof, who actually end up taking from that system rather than putting into it, then we end up in a deficit, don't we?
Off again. You said you weren't, but you are. You're saying don't necessarily assume that children from large families are going to end up as beneficiaries.
That's not what I said.
Whereas they could be taxpaying.
No, that's not what I said. Well, Boris Johnson, you know, Jacob Rees-Mogg's got loads of kids. I'm imagining that they will be contributors in the net world to the tax.
Him.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to blame him because I'm sure all of his children will contribute to society. However,
Mike. Hmm? Let me just remind you, we started off talking about this fact that's come to our notice this morning that is very important, as you say, and that is that the family is shrinking. I don't think it's a cause for alarm. I think it's just a kind of an almost natural extension of something that's been going on. And I think that women have kind of asserted their independence and said, you know, we want one child and that's enough. You know, we're going to then resume our working careers. And I really think that this is the kind of backdrop to this whole debate, that women are central to this. The days have gone where women were persuaded to believe that their role in life was to bear children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, but now of course that's outdated and ridiculous, and nobody would argue that that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but Mike, you know, it's only in the 1960s that women began to realise that.
Yeah, but that's quite a long time ago now. Let me put something else to you then, Professor. Let me put something else to you. The birth rate has officially plunged in this country to its lowest rate in 14 years, okay?
Yep.
Since 2006, I believe, we have now got the lowest birth rate in the country, okay?
And it'll continue to drop.
Now, and that's exactly right. Now, last year, there were more new mothers at the age of 35 than at 25, which is a change in the way that we are looking at things. So all I'm saying is that...
Mid-career break.
All of which may be a good thing. My point is that it will reduce the ability of those people who are being born in this day and age to pay for those who are living longer and longer and longer. And that's my point, which is why I say all of this nonsense from Hillary Clinton today, I don't know whether you've seen this in The Guardian, about how we have to stop immigration, is a complete nonsense, because immigration is going to be what we need, presumably, to build up the birth rates.
Not disagreeing with you, Mike, on that one.
Right.
I have no problem with immigration at all. And as you say...
Well, I think most people have a problem with some form of immigration, don't they?
Members, taxpaying members of society, then what's the problem?
There is no problem whatsoever. But what we need to then do is make sure that we are making sure that we are bringing people into the country who will contribute to it and who will not be continual drains on the society, which is already being drained by the people who are here.
Let's not get into demonising all migrants then.
When did I demonise all migrants?
Right.
When did I demonise all migrants?
Because I think there was... I didn't say you did, mate, but people tend to, don't they?
No, I don't. I never demonise anyone.
No, I didn't say you did, but people tend to, which is why you're making your stand and I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, no, my stand is all about being specific about immigration and not being frightened of mentioning it, because too many people now in this world are frightened of saying we only need some kind of immigration, we need controlled immigration, we need the right kind of immigration rather than the wrong kind. I don't see anything wrong with saying that.
And at every opportunity when this subject comes up in any kind of debate, I always point exactly that to people, that, you know, the people nowadays tend to use the word migrant or immigrant as a kind of like the blue touch paper.
Yes.
And that then the
on both sides of the
argument.
But you know,
here,
on both, but you know, Professor, it's on both sides of the argument, because there are those people who try to raise that subject who are then demonised by the others who say you shouldn't raise the argument.
Like you and me.
But thank God, Professor, we are in the Independent Republic of Mike Graham, where the rules are very different to the way they are outside everywhere else. And we can be reasonable and we can be intelligent and we can say the way the truth is without actually fear or favour.
And let's hope our listeners get very careful notice of what we're...
Well, they do. But we see...
We're rowing about sometimes. The
difference between us and other radio stations is that we don't tell our listeners how to think. We just let them think
true.
For themselves.
Independent thinking is the cornerstone of a civilised society in many ways.
So let me ask you one final question, please. Professor. When will it all go horribly wrong?
It won't.
I'm going to hold you to this, you know. I'm going to call
Please
you
do.
In about 15 years when I'm too old to do a radio show. And I'm going
to
say,
too old to answer your question.
And I'm going to say, you haven't looked after me in my old age. I haven't got enough. I mean, I myself have done my best. I've produced 4 children who I'm hoping you're going to look after me in my dotage.
Well, I balance you out because I don't have any kids.
You don't have any at all?
No.
Why?
Why? You need my biography for...
For heaven's sake, I mean, don't you realise you have an opportunity here and a responsibility to make sure that the old people of this country are getting paid for?
I can turn this whole thing around and say, why don't you have a responsibility to conform to the statistical norm and have your 1.89 children and be content with them?
Because when I was having kids, there was 2.4. And so there, and also I had 2 different
marriages.
I had 2.4 with each woman. What's wrong with that? Professor Ellis Cashmore, thank you very much indeed. Visiting Professor of Sociology at Aston University. A very sensible man. A man who quite rightly understood what I was talking about. The number of calls to call, 0344 499 1000 is the number. I think there's going to be a problem here because we're not going to be producing enough children to pay for the people who are going to live longer, who are going to need support, who are going to need social care. And I know you're going to agree with me and I want to hear from you. 0344 499 1000. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the Great Dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Let it all hang out.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. You know what to do. 0344 499 1000. The birth rate is falling in this country, and I think it's going to be a time bomb for the rest of the population. Sean, however, doesn't agree. He says the falling birth rate is brilliant news. Overpopulation is why the environment is suffering so much, but right-on lefties won't discuss it. The less people there are, the better. Less strain on schools, hospitals and police too. Win, win, win. Well, Sean, I'm afraid you've got that round completely the wrong way, because you might think that the birth population falling in this country is a good thing, but guess what? It ain't falling everywhere else. It's not falling in China. It's not falling in India. It's not falling in Brazil. It's not falling in the United States of America. So we will end up being a shrinking and shrinking population with an economic wish list which gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's go to the phones. 0344 499 1000. Susan is in Exeter. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, Michael.
Very good morning, Susan. What can I do for you?
I want to talk to you about the issue of the supposedly falling birth rate.
You say that as they don't believe the figures.
No, well, sweetheart, just do you ever get the bus?
What?
Do you ever get the bus?
I do get the bus every day, yeah.
Really? Okay. Do you live in, have you ever lived in Swindon? Any town?
Swindon?
Yeah.
I got divorced in Swindon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
terrible,
that's
place. Right. Okay. Awful.
All right, sweetheart. Now, right. I just mentioned that off the top of my head.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with Swindon.
You don't live in Swindon, do you?
No, but I know some people who did.
All right.
And they left.
Okay, don't blame them.
No, it's okay. It's an inner city area, isn't it? Excuse me. It's an inner city, a typical town in England.
I call it, a typical town. Yeah, not really a city.
A typical town.
Yeah.
All right, sweetheart. Now, look, I didn't have children for various reasons.
Okay.
My sister, my cousins, my friends, they all had babies and it's wonderful and they love their babies and they've done a good job, like you and your lovely wife.
Yes.
You've had babies and you're responsible.
Thank you.
Okay? You're responsible and you try and do your best.
Most of the time.
Of course. And if a lady, in my eyes, wants to have 10 babies, that's fine. Because
well, as long as she can afford it, Susan, that's the point.
Yeah,
you shouldn't just have children if you can't afford them.
Yeah, but you're not letting me get my words out, because you're firing on all four cylinders again. You have
six cylinders, please. Six cylinders.
Well, can you bring it down a bit?
Well, I'll try, but we haven't got a lot of time, Susan.
You can spend a couple of minutes with me. You
all
always
right.
cut me off.
Go on, well, hurry up then. Get on with it.
In our grandparents' parents' time, ladies had 10 or 12 babies and they got on with it and all the babies were fine. Now, if you try and provide a stable background for them, you know, and an emotionally stable, you know, divorce happens.
It does.
Happens, whether you want it to or not.
True.
And splits happen.
Yeah.
And we don't look, you know, it's a part of life. But please try and be responsible. There are a lot of single mothers out there with babies. There is no father figure.
Yeah.
The babies are born into an environment without a father figure. I think they're depleted. They're going to grow up in life without that. So, I mean, my father was very remote. He wasn't very good at all, but he was there.
Right. Well, that's good.
And my God, if you did wrong, my God, you knew about it.
Well, exactly.
You know, he was there.
Exactly.
And it was that figure to look up to. But a lot of the kids now from single mums, the man isn't there anymore for any reason, for whatever reason. Mm. And the children are going to grow up dysfunctional. I'm sorry. And we're going to get problems with aggression later on.
Indeed. Well, that's the problem. And I've got to leave it there, Susan, only because we're short of time today. We've got lots to get in and not that much time to get it in.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Right now, though, we've got lots of other things to talk about, including, of course, this ludicrous story which hit the papers this morning that the PETA people, that's the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, want to rename Wool, which is a lovely little town down in Dorset, because apparently they think it's unkind to sheep. They say if you don't shear sheep, they will have a much happier life. I'm slightly concerned about that. If you don't shear a sheep, what happens to it? Does it just continue to grow wool until it's the size of, you know, a small town in Dorset? Let's talk to Councillor Laura Miller, who is a district councillor for Wool. Councillor Laura, very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now, of course, we know that Wool is not actually named after sheep, nor indeed is it named after wool. Tell us what the problem is here.
No, that's right. The origins of the name Wool stem from the Saxon word well, because wool's actually built around a lot of water springs. So it's actually got nothing to do with sheep at all.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, when did you first hear of this suggestion from PETA that they wanted you to change the name?
So they wrote to our parish clerk earlier this week and, you know, let's be honest, it's a very creative campaign. It's clearly not going to happen. But we've got a sense of humour. It's quite funny and they've got the publicity that they wanted.
Well, you say you've got a sense of humour, Councillor Laura, but we don't often associate animal rights activists with a sense of humour, you have to say.
No, sometimes not. But in this case, they've created a very creative campaign. It's obviously hit loads of news outlets. So that's clearly the response that they wanted. But, you know, our little community, we just don't see those same issues that perhaps PETA represent. We've got a great local community. We've got lots of little village butchers, farm shops. So people locally, I would say, would be much more concerned with the welfare and provenance of where their food's coming from.
Yeah.
Rather than grabbing headlines.
I mean, you've only got 2,000 residents. I'm pretty sure I've been to Wool as well, because I used to go to Dorset quite a bit. I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world. It's also part of
it's
the
lovely
heritage of Wessex and the whole Thomas Hardy era, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's right.
Tessa the d'Urbervilles has been mentioned in some of the stories I've read this morning.
Yeah.
And so why don't you use this opportunity to sell Wool, as it were, to the rest of the nation? Tell us why we should come and visit.
Oh, do you know, it's great. It's an absolutely fantastic place. The community is just brilliant. As I said, we've got loads of little independent shops, got hardware store, little cafe, which actually, incidentally, does a lot of vegan food. We're totally not anti-vegan.
Yep.
You know, it's just, I suspect you that most people in Wool could tell you the provenance of their food, and we're very up on animal welfare issues, but people are more concerned with having a great local community, making sure animals and people are treated well.
Indeed. And the sheep, I presume, who do live around the fields of wool actually are sheared for a reason. I mean, you know, it doesn't actually harm
absolutely
them. What happens if you don't shear a sheep, do you know?
A friend of mine keeps sheep. If you don't shear a sheep in the summer, they can get something which is called fly strike, which is basically when flies and maggots infest their fleece. And it's an incredibly horrific, it's a really nasty thing for sheep to suffer from.
Yeah.
Apart from just being actually really quite warm in the summer.
Well,
and
exactly,
actually, if you've got a byproduct from a welfare issue, sheep need to be shorn. And if you've got a byproduct of that, it makes sense from a sustainability point of view to use it rather than using fleeces which are made out of plastic.
Well, of course.
So,
absolutely,
you know,
right. I mean, they say they can make a sort of artificial wool from a mixture of hemp and coconut fibre and banana bark. I'm not sure I want to wear a jumper that smells like a banana.
Do you know, it might be really comfy and it probably doesn't smell, but I'd like to see the air miles and the sustainability, the carbon footprint around that versus some local wool made into a jumper just down the road.
Absolutely right. What a very sensible person you are. Can you come up to Westminster and run Parliament for us? Because, I mean, we could do with a bit of common sense up here. Councillor Laura Miller, thank you very much indeed. District Councillor for Wool. You see, these are the kind of people that we need in government in this country. Dr. Paul Cavill is up in Nottinghamshire. He's Professor at the Institute of Names. And, of course, Dr. Paul, you will know that wool does not have anything to do with sheep, as indeed does bacon end have anything to do with bacon.
That's absolutely right, yes. When names are given, they're referred to things that people can recognise usually in the landscape, like springs in wool. And we've got lots of names that change, either words are lost or they change the sense. So, for example, in Nottinghamshire, we've got bunny, which is actually a reference to reeds. And there are a whole range of names that sound pretty awful, like nasty in Hertfordshire, or foul mess in Essex, or swine in East Yorkshire. Or one of my favourites has got to be spittle in the street in Lincolnshire. all of which sound pretty awful.
Well, but, I mean, one of my favourites is upper and lower slaughter in Gloucestershire, which always kind of brings to mind some horrible horror film. Or one of mine that I didn't know about this morning, up in the Scottish Borders in Moffat, a place called Devil's Beef Tub.
Yeah, anything that is either prehistoric or of massive proportions is named Devil. So we've got Devil's Dyke and Devil's Punch Bowl and so on. And these are big landscape features. And people think, oh, goodness, it must have been made by some activity of some supernatural force.
Yeah. I used to play golf in a place not far off the M25 in Kent called Badger's Bottom.
Yep.
What's the origin of that then?
Well, the bottom is a valley floor, usually with a stream, and it could either refer to badger, and then the actual badgers, or it could be somebody. Badger is also a name for a tradesman, so it might have been somewhere. You know, a bagger. We'd probably call him.
Oh, okay, right. That's interesting. And there's a few hams and things around, aren't there? You see that quite a lot. I mean, obviously the East Ham and West Ham in London. There's ham in the sort of southwest of London as well, but there's Peter's Ham and all sorts. I mean, is ham got some relevance to the history of the country?
Yes. Well, there are two words for that. One is land in a river bend, which is usually, you know, grazing for animals. Mm. And the other is the harm word, as in Nottingham and Birmingham and so on, which is home. Home is what comes into modern English as home.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of something that changes from its original form to mean something else.
And one final one that's bound to upset the Peter people is Leatherhead, of course, in Surrey. Where's that come from?
Well, there's a lot of debate about that one. some people think it is the kind of crossing point of the river, so it's something to do with riding.
Yeah.
But there's another interpretation of that that relates it to a landscape feature in the area from a Celtic source. And that, again, would be a good example if it were so. We're not absolutely sure. But if it were so, then it would be another example of how names have stayed around and changed form over something like 1,500 years.
Right. And, I mean, we need to hold on to our history in this country because there's an awful lot of it gets wiped away as time goes on. And so the names of places, I think, are quite important, aren't they?
They are. And a name like Wall can be absolutely fascinating to children. We do stuff for children in schools where they kind of look at place names and see what they mean, and they're absolutely gripped by it. And of course it's fascinating for adults as well. They love local research. You know, it's one of those areas that we could be in danger of losing if we kind of change a lot of names or rejig them deliberately as against these changes that happen naturally.
No, indeed. Well, Dr. Paul, very, very interesting stuff. I wish we could have you on for longer, but as long as we can keep woolen, I'll be happy. Dr. Paul Cavell, Professor of the Institute of Names at the Nottingham University.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
On Talk Radio.
Come and learn.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham, you know what to do. 03444991000 is the number, of course. We're talking about the Spanish, we're talking about Gibraltar, we're talking about Theresa May, we're talking about Brexit, we're also talking about Black Friday. Giselle Wainwright is here from Sunsavers. She's going to be joining us again in a moment to help us find some bargains. Right now, though, we're going back to the phones. Let's talk to Paddy, who's in Suffolk. Hello, Paddy.
Yeah, hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. The hypocrisy from Spain, it's incredible.
Really?
Because... You gave the example earlier of, you know, what if Spain owned a part of Scotland?
Yes.
You know? Well, they do, but it's in a different continent. They own a part of Morocco, a tiny little, two little tiny bits of Morocco that they won't hand over to the Moroccans. One of the pieces is on just the other side of the Gibraltar Strait.
Yes.
And the other bit is hundreds of miles away in the a tiny little enclave in Morocco, identical.
Well, every nation in sort of Western Europe has at one point or another had some empire-connected territory overseas, hasn't it?
Yes, but they're saying this is part of Spain.
Well, it is, though.
And it's in a different continent than Spain. It's in Africa.
Well, Gibraltar's not in Africa.
Exactly. So that Gibraltar's in Europe.
Well, Gibraltar's attached
Europe.
To Spain. I mean, I've been to Gibraltar. You can walk from Spain to Gibraltar. I've done it.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
So it's actually attached to Spain. So that makes it a bit easier.
Just across...
Well, can you tell me, Paddy, what nobody can tell me, which is what would be the problem with us giving it back?
I suppose they say it sets a precedent for something or other.
For what?
Giving all of Pitcairn Island away or something.
Didn't we already do that in Hong Kong?
We did, but did you know...
So the precedent's already been set, then?
There's a saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire. And it still doesn't.
Pull the other one. Which empire is that, Paddy?
I don't know. Seriously.
There is no British Empire anymore.
The British Empire
don't be so ridiculous. There is no British Empire.
And there's one part of the empire called Pitcairn Island.
Uh-huh. And what goes on there?
Incestuous paedophilia, to
really?
Be honest.
Well, why would you want to keep that, then?
Well, I wouldn't, but I just...
I'm not quite sure what your argument is here, Paddy.
Sorry?
Not quite sure what your argument is here.
My argument is Spain has got parts of Morocco they won't give over.
Yeah, you've already said that, so why can't we give them back to Gibraltar? You haven't got an argument, have you? So you'll have to think of something better and call back again when you've had some better thoughts. 03444991000 is the number. You can, of course, join this debate, but do try and have some kind of cogent argument as to why we need to keep Gibraltar. It's Black Friday, maybe we should give it away. Cut rates. Here's Giselle Wainwright. Hello, Giselle.
Hi, I can't possibly comment on that.
Now, I don't know whether you can go on the online and buy Gibraltar.
I'm not sure, but I'm going to mainly stick to the supermarkets and big-name deals
today.
The
great thing about the people that listen to this radio station is they can connect all sorts of things. Theresa May, says Damon, is the kind of person that would go to a Black Friday event and agree to pay the discount on top of the original price. Now, we've had a load of people asking for help.
I know,
in finding,
so yeah.
Some things.
I've been set a task.
You've been set some tasks. Cheapest Xbox, we're looking for some. Mark and Sarah are looking for a lawnmower. We've got a guy called, I think it's Kevin, looking for a gas cooker. I just tweeted that one to you. I don't know whether you saw that.
Yeah, I just did. So I've got to work on the gas cooker, but I've definitely found the other ones
now. All right, so tell us about the Xbox, first of all. He doesn't want a video game included, just the console.
That's good. That's good, because there are several deals. And I don't know if you saw the news story today that someone was 107,000th in the queue online at Game Midnight.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, this is the
day.
Do
people actually queue like that? Then
this is an online queue, but this morning there were 5 a.m. queues at some places.
Really? No, but I mean, if you're in an online queue, because I'm not very well connected in these ways, can you watch yourself going down the queue?
Yeah, I don't know how accurate it really is, but you know, you get like a little bar.
Okay.
It's like, do you remember the old school computers?
Oh, yeah.
Up and down,
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So the Xbox, yeah, Xbox One, Xbox One S or Xbox One X. God, got me, get my words out.
Not easy to say.
No, not easy on radio. Thanks, guys. But yeah, if you're looking for just the controllers and just the console, which is weirdly hard to find, it's actually Tesco you've got to go to today.
Okay.
So Tesco have it for £159, but that is that's a £90 saving, which they're doing on all their bundles. But it's the fact you get the extra controller. Normally you only get one with games consoles, which is so rude.
It is rude, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have that problem because my kids are... I mean, we had to actually go and get a second... They're on PS4s, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right? We had to go and get a second one so they could play each other because they were fed up having to share the one console.
No, exactly. And they're about £40 each just for their handheld controller. So, yeah, Tesco's your best deal. But if you actually were thinking you wanted a game deal, the best one I've seen is... where that man was in the queue. So you get Xbox One, Fortnite, Forza Horizon 4 and Extinction. You've heard of all those games? They're
mm-hmm.
big Christmas games. That's £199. And that would have been about £250 bought separately. So if you have maybe loads of kids or you want to get them all the games at once, that's where you should go. Head to game or
okay.
game.co.uk.
All right, that's good. What about a lawnmower? It's a funny time of year to buy a lawnmower, but maybe that's
it
a good
is,
thing.
It is, but it's a good day to buy appliances. So I think this person was asking about whether out of season was a good idea. I mean,
yeah.
yes, today's about all appliances,
right.
so it will apply. Argos have some really great half-price deals. I noticed a Spear & Jackson lawnmower for down from £120, it's down to £60.
So half price then?
Half price across
Pretty
the
good.
Board. And half price is a good deal, I feel. Yeah, 50%
right.
off is good.
Now, before we go to Chloe and what she was asking for, have you had any luck chasing down our coffee machine?
Coffee machines are one of the most sought-after items today.
Well, do you know, when you walk into any one of those big electrical appliance stores, I'm not going to name any particular one, but they're full rammed with these coffee machines. I mean, there must be about a million different kinds you can get.
It really depends on what you want for quality. You can spend about £2,000 on a coffee
wow.
machine. My brother's a bit of a hipster.
That's
barista.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
That means you've got too much. We've got more money than sense. If he's spending two
there
grand
are weirdly
on a coffee
a few
machine,
people with more money than sense.
There
aren't
are actually, yeah, extraordinarily. None of them are in this room, luckily.
So I'd say then people are a big fan of the Nespresso pods,
yeah.
the Nespresso ones. So the De'Longhi Latissima one pod coffee machine. It's in the sun today on page 60, and it's down from £195 to £119. That's a good. That's
okay.
a saving of £76.
And when you
pounds.
Buy these things, and
yeah.
I'm not asking you to be an expert on coffee machines,
oh,
but if you buy these things that take those little pods, are those pods easy to buy? Because I never see
you
them.
You can
anywhere.
Buy them. You can buy them online now. You can get discounts. You could buy them on eBay.
Can you?
eBay has its own shops, not just at auction. You
You're
want
right.
used ones?
Yeah, I don't want a used coffee pod. Really.
Amazon has great deals as well. And just looking quickly, that I've just seen, Currys is also doing really great deals. So you've got £90 down to £60 on another Nespresso, the Krups Inissia, and the Morphy Richards one is down from £80 to £34 at Currys. And also you can get cashback on that at topcashback.com.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of cashback, topcashback.com. Head there today and you can see loads of new member offers, all specific to what you want, specifically. Even Amazon, though, about 1% to 3%, depending
right.
on what you buy.
Okay. And finally, Chloe was looking for Christmas jumpers. She said
yeah,
she
I think this is great.
Primark.
So Christmas jumper day, I think, is Friday the 14th of...
I won't be wearing one. I'm afraid it's not
what?
For me. I
yes,
don't
you
wear
will.
Christmas jumpers.
I'm
no.
going to bring you one in.
No, you can't. No way. I'm not putting it on. I'm just refusing right now.
Okay, great debate. We'll go to studio.co.uk as a new online retailer.
Okay.
And you can get... They have theirs slashed from £25 to £9.99. A bit out of your norm if you want to get a bit more festive. You clearly don't.
No,
it's fine.
I really don't. And I'm not, what's worse than that? I mean, it's very sexist about this. I don't. If
okay.
a woman wants to wear a Christmas jumper and look dopey, that's fine.
Right.
But the men that wear them, they look so dopey.
I'm going to take that
so
out.
They're so ridiculous.
That. They're all dopey. It's Christmas. You're
yeah,
supposed to dress
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but why?
Are you going to wear reindeer antlers instead?
No.
I'll
no,
look up them
absolutely
for you next
not.
Time.
No.
Can I just
I've
jump in and say, ASOS have
this.
20% off everything. That's also another one to
also,
do.
Also, I'm telling you this now. If you put anything like that on your car. You know, I
okay,
just,
well, actually, even I draw the line
I
on eyelashes.
I may just run into it just to make a point. I mean, people that put reindeer antlers on their car.
Yeah, I think that's a bit far for me, but it, people like to get festive, and it's starting now.
Oh, dear. It's not even December.
Yeah, I know.
I know you're here for the festive season.
You see, I'm in Christmas mode.
Yeah.
We're going to get you there by the end of the day.
I'll be there. Don't worry. When the champagne arrives, we may begin
now you're talking.
Christmas countdown then. Thank you very much indeed.
No
Giselle Wainwright from Sun Savers. She's the editor. She knows what to get you.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
On Talk Radio.
It's 10 minutes to one. It's Friday, and it's time for this.
The 2018 Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome everybody.
It's a strange voice. What are you doing here?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. Katy Perry rang me yesterday.
Did she?
And she said, "Con, you're the only man for this job."
I'm very delighted to say, for those of you who don't recognise Con's voice, which used to be on Talk Radio a lot, he's our producer. However, he has been seconded over to what can only be described as wireless studios to produce a podcast for I'm a Celebrity,
the
Get Me Out of Here.
VIP.
Right, that's the only mention it's going to get, and that's the only mention you're going to be able to give us. Because, of course, this is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Con is back. Welcome. Can you please get on with it?
Yes, each Friday we cast our ears back over the past 5 days of the so-called Independent Republic of Mike Graham and choose our favourite moments. As is tradition, let's just get on with it. As is tradition, yeah. I think the first Perrier should go to you,
Thank
Mike.
You.
And today you win the Perrier for Confession of the Week.
Because I'm one of those people that I make fun of. I mean, in a very pleasant and friendly sort of way. I always make fun of people from the north because it's just one of those dynamics that goes on. You know, I was born and raised in London. Everybody north of Watford or even north of Edgware to me is from the north, you know, and it really winds people up. It doesn't put me in a terribly good light, really. Does it sound as funny the second time?
No, it's just quite frank, and I think that's good. We need more truth on this show.
We do, yeah.
In the last few days, we have covered all sorts of topics, of course, from Brexit to a chow-chow kept in a cage, knickers to the state of the police and speed limits. Listener Samantha wins the text of the week for not understanding what the hell was going on.
Samantha says, "I don't want to hear the Archbishop of Canterbury talking about women's knickers, thank you. I'm not sure that that was what I was suggesting." I certainly was not suggesting that. The Archbishop of Canterbury said that he wasn't sure that God was a man.
Okay.
He didn't mention knickers at all.
Okay, so yeah, it's quite confused.
Got it quite wrong there, yeah. Thanks, Samantha.
Classic now. We present you, Mike, with the Perry Award for Pronunciation of the Week for your excellent Icelandic knowledge.
Aya Fatla Yogurt. Apparently, that's how you say it in Icelandic. Anyway, it doesn't spell like that, of course. It looks like Aya Fjallil Jokul. That was, of course, the volcano that exploded with all the ash going all over the place and nobody being able to fly anywhere.
What, years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, still up to date on this
years
show.
Years ago. Yeah, you were about 10 when that happened.
Earlier this week, we spoke about hypochondria. One of our regular GPs, Dr. Lawrence Buckman, was a guest on the show, and we saw your roles reversed, and you had to offer him some medical advice.
Yes, it is. And what happens is that you're so full of information that the consultation, instead of being about you, is about your...
I think I'd Google a cough if I were you there, Dr. Buckman. I mean, you know, you don't know what you might find.
Yes.
Yeah, he suddenly became very unwell while he was talking to us.
Brilliant. Another one for you, Mike. On Monday, you did the show live from College Green cold in Westminster.
It was cold, yeah.
Shame to miss that. And you proved that besides political coverage, you can also do weather updates.
Mike Graham, we're live on College Green down in Westminster. It's a pretty grim day. The sun is occasionally appearing between the clouds, but it's very windy. There's hurricane conditions down here. It did feel like it.
It sounds like they one nearly, of those reports nearly, from
they,
a hurricane.
They nearly blew the tent away. I mean, I'm not joking. I thought our lives were in danger at one point.
A classic Perrier regular. Caller Susan wins this week's best reaction.
How are you, and I don't wish to in any way put you down as a woman, but how are you going to be able to jump into a fight between three blokes and a police officer?
I can't, they'll bloody kill me.
Well, exactly.
They'll slaughter me. They'll throw me around like a rag doll.
Like a rag doll. It's great when people start speaking in tabloid ease, isn't it? And they'll throw me around like a rag doll.
Brilliant. Simon Williams from the RAC came on the show to talk about cycle lanes and yellow box junctions. But what we really learnt from this interview is that you, Mike, have a problem understanding genders.
I mean, I've never heard so much rubbish in all my life. What do you mean she's the roads minister? What are you doing about it, Simon?
He's the roads minister. We met him the other week, actually. So.
Oh, so he is it?
Yes, definitely. Blimey.
Well, he can't even get his name right. Not surprised he doesn't know what he's doing. It's called Jesse Norman. I mean, you think Jesse's a girl's name, isn't it?
I had a Jesse at my school, yeah.
I'm sure you did. Doesn't surprise me. Next.
Later on that same show, you offered some parenting tips, and guess what? You got confused with genders again.
Have you got any children, George?
This is not a political football. I do. I have a very beautiful four-year-old.
Good. Well, I'm sure she will need to be raised and brought up in the correct way, which I'm sure you will tell her does not include lying down in front of cars, which might run over you and kill you.
Well, I mean, he's a he.
Oh, is he? Okay. He's not called Jesse, is he? Well, you see, there's always a synergy there.
Oh, great. And now, this doesn't happen
very often.
See,
you miss this show, don't you?
Yeah.
You do?
I bet, yeah. Miss her waking up. And now, this doesn't happen very often. But our newsreader, Rachel Jewell, picks up Most Valued Player of the Week for introducing her own bulletin when you, Mike, missed your cue.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you...
Good morning. It's 11. It's midday. I'm Rachel Jewell. May comes out fighting on Brexit. Rain threatens wildfire survivors.
So he's just proving that newsreaders can't introduce themselves.
No, they can't even tell the time.
No, they can't even tell the time. No, have we got another one like that?
Okay, one more.
Yeah.
We finish with a first-time winner. This week, Talk Radio's breakfast host,
yes,
Julia Hartley Brewer, is the proud winner of the Perrier for Most Sleep-Deprived Presenter.
To everyone who needs them. 5 minutes past eight is the time. This is 8 o'clock. This is 8 o'clock. This is also Talk Radio.
She can read the news.
This is 8 o'clock. This is 1 o'clock. That was Con Mendez, our former producer. We hope he may be back at some point after he's let go by the hostage takers down at Wireless Studios. Con, nice to see you. Thank you very
Cheers,
much
Mike.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the week. Look out for that podcast. It is the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here VIP podcast.
Jungle VIP.
Jungle VIP. Go and download it with Jamie East and enjoy.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.